tonight. I am very happy. This is your first appearance here at Many Rivers, is that right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy to welcome to Many Rivers Books and Tea Jan Bode and Mary Stella Church. And the first of a dozen vortices and portals that have opened on the half acre where Jan and Mary Stella live in West Santa Rosa was unveiled by a Pomo Shaman ancestor on the spring equinox of 2001 in their living room.
No way.
Very cool. So the talk tonight is Earth Vortex Unveiled. Thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you. Time was measured, before space was a concept. Two souls, with an uncountable number of others, separated from source. They were points of light with curiosity awakened, ready for adventure. Each was becoming conscious of self, and after a while, they returned to source. The comfort and sacredness of the oneness. Then, nourished and refreshed, off they'd go again, and gradually they began to stay away longer and longer until they forgot their sacred selves. Meanwhile, Earth was evolving, and at some point at the beginning of time, they came here. They took form, some form or another, and when finally they took human form, these two souls spent many lifetimes together as best friends, husband and wife with many children, father and son, female cousins, and at least once they performed healing rituals together while one was a priestess at a temple in Greece. And the other remained in the world of spirit. And finally, we come to the most recent cycle, when they met again in the 20th century. In this life, I was born on the East Coast in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1942. Mary Stella was born on the West Coast in Santa Rosa in 1955. We met in San Francisco later in 1993, and our souls recognized each other. At that time, I had a full practice as a psychotherapist in San Francisco, and Mary Stella was an international tour director. She literally took groups around the world to play and discover new cultures. Within 6 months of our first getting reacquainted, Spirit sent us to the magnificent Red Rocks and the vortices in Sedona, Arizona, where we had several extraordinary experiences. And before we left, during that first visit, Spirit told us that we had to return the next year with a small group and facilitate healings and other experiences with those people in that group in the vortices in Sedona. I personally thought that was pretty brazen of Spirit, because it didn't make sense to me. We barely knew each other. We certainly had never done anything like teacher facilitate something together. But both of us knew when Spirit calls, you really kind of got to go with it. So before we left Sedona, we actually made reservations at a lodge for the next year and put down the money. And we did return. In fact, we returned every year for several years. as we were instructed. In 1994, a year later, through 95, Mary Steller and I studied with Melodoma and Sobonfu Somme from West Africa. They were sent here by their elders, and we participated in their ritual healing village, where we learned a great deal about the elements, which is a little different system than the ones we're used to here in the West, and also what ritual really is about, and how to conduct yourself in that sacred energy. In 1966, Mary Stella's mother died, and she was the last one to live in that family home, and Spirit told us to move to Santa Rosa. I put up a fair amount of resistance. I was very happy in San Francisco, and we had already started facilitating some groups there. Mary Stella had stopped doing international work, but she was doing local tours and sometimes went as far as the Grand Canyon, but you know, a lot in the city, in the wine country, etc., down in Monterey. And I was very happy with my private practice, and I knew I wouldn't start a group in a new place. I just knew I wouldn't do that. But, of course, we moved. And we continued the journey we had started, our spiritual journey, once we moved up here. And that actually leads into the story of the first vortex that opened on spring equinox in 2001.
It had been a dry year so far, and so we were very much looking forward to holding the ritual outside. And it's about a half an acre, and the piece of land when my godfather built the house there before I was even born, it was a prune orchard, and it went through many lives. But you know, from the time that my parents moved in and my mom passed, from raising all of our own food there to having a beautiful lush garden that mom kept until she just wasn't physically able to any longer. So there was a lot of yard work to be done, and we have a redwood forest. We have about 10 redwood trees that we gave to her as gifts over time that needed some tending, and we have about 30 roses that needed to be, you know, trimmed and clipped, and weeds to be pulled, and lawns to be mowed, and, you know, just a lot to do, because for us, preparing for a ritual is, it's not just preparing the land to look nice or to look, you know, trimmed or for any of that. It's a connection to the land. It's a way of being one with the land. It's a way of clearing energy along with, you know, the weeds or the dead flowers. So we put a lot of our heart into doing the yard work that, you know, in preparation for any ritual that we do. And so we did. We spent days joyfully, you know, preparing the space. There were about 17 people who said they were coming, and there was always more who just hadn't gotten back to us. So, you know, after clearing the veggie garden and fixing up the herb garden and doing everything else, the day came and it rained. It didn't just rain, it poured. This wasn't like it's going to stop and we can still go outside. This was rain. And we were so glad because it hadn't rained much. It was one of those years where it like stopped in January, you know, it's like, what are we going to do for water? So we were glad for the rain, but it also caused us then to immediately have to turn around and prepare the house. which is good. I mean, 17 is a lot in our house, but, you know, to prepare the house and move the furniture in order to do this ritual.
But we did it. We did all of it, and we moved couches back and shifted this and that. So everyone did arrive, and there were 17 of us that day. And we began our rituals by making music. And And so we pulled out drums and rattles and clacking sticks and whatevers. And there's a real reason for doing that. One is, as you're making music, you're creating a vibration. There's a sound and there's a vibration. And it accomplishes two major things, aside from it sounds good, in that it helps us, as you know, in our healing bodies, to just sort of shake away, you know, our concerns, our energies that we're carrying that really aren't needed. They probably aren't needed, period, but certainly not in sacred space. And the other is, it is really literally a call to spirit. It's the first invitation to say, come, join us, be with us. You know, spirit being the ancestors of the land, or personal spirit guides, you know, whichever way that you think of spirit. So we did that first, and then that's always followed by what we call invocation, which is literally specifically invoking the spirits you desire to be present. And in the course of the invocation, there was one woman in particular, and we didn't know her. We knew several of the people there, but some of the people had brought friends, and it was our first time meeting those people. And this woman, we didn't know her. And we were kind of surprised when, during invocation, she called in her entire female lineage. We had never experienced anyone doing that before, and it was fine. It was just sort of a surprise. What was more stunning was, as they arrived, we could feel the room get very crowded. Now, for Mary Stella and I to experience that, and some of the people in the room, was not a surprise that we would feel that or sense it in some way. But it turned out that just about everyone in the room, even those people who weren't used to ritual space, later on commented that they felt the room get crowded. I mean, it was visceral. They came. She called them. She meant it. They arrived in our living room that was already full. Okay. The next thing we usually do is a check-in. And we use a talking stick. And in case anyone doesn't know what that is, it's a Native American tradition, and it's usually a stick. It can be decorated, you know, with different things, feathers or whatever. But it's literally passed around from one person to the other. And the great thing about it is, when the person holding it has the floor, so to speak, and the agreement and the respect. Because the talking stick is used in council within the Native tradition, is that there's no crosstalk. So you hear someone say something, you want to go, oh yes, I had an experience. You can't do that. Or, can I ask a question? You don't do that. You show respect and you listen. And when that person is done, they pass the talking stick to the next one to their left. And then everyone listens to that person. And to you when you're holding it. And so it goes around. So when it came to this woman, whose name I don't remember actually, who had called in all her female lineage ancestors, one of the things she shared with us is that this was a new adventure for her, that she was studying her ancestry. She was really actively looking it up, because she wanted to know more, because her heritage is part Pomo, part Miwok. Those are the two native tribes of this area. So this was like, wow. Because there is no doubt in the land that we live on, and a lot of the land in this area was inhabited by those very people. So there's already something brewing here with all of this going on. And the female ancestors have arrived.
So this ritual was 4 hours long, plenty of time to go to the other place, to explore, especially like a spring equinox ritual. It's about being in relationship to Mother Nature and ourselves, and looking at the next cycle and what do we have to bring into the next cycle, you know, finishing with the previous cycle, the the winter cycle and embracing the spring and being prepared and ready. And so one of the pieces in the ritual after everything Jan just talked about was a guided meditation. And the guided meditation, Jan expertly led people to down a path to an archway. And as they stood looking through this archway, as they stood on the threshold, on the other side was their spring garden. It was their personal spring garden. It's all of the things that they have to bring forth in this new cycle. And they were invited to step across this threshold and to really experience their spring, to experience their new cycle. So while everyone was in their spring garden with their experiences, I was doing what I call an energy reading. I'm a visual intuitive, so I see pictures. And when I focus, I can your energy body speaks to me in images, in pictures. So while everyone was in their meditation, I went around and had a little conversation with everybody's spirit body. I hope everyone's fine. So I went around and had a nice conversation with everyone's spirit body. And when the meditation came to an end and everyone returned to the room, to the here and now, they were given an opportunity to share their experiences. And after that, I shared the experiences of the images I received while speaking to their spirit or energy bodies. And you know, we've done that a lot up to that point, and we've done it a lot since then. And it's the only time that it truly felt as though everyone had brought a piece to a puzzle. That everyone had a piece that was important to creating something new. And everyone there knew it too. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know at the end of the four-hour ritual what it was, but we all knew that we had brought something. Each person was important to this. And that it would reveal itself at some point, whatever it was that we created. But it was just this wonderful, I mean, goosebumps again. It was such a different, full feeling. On this particular day. And then we finished the ritual, and in closing we always thank the spirits and let them know that they can go now, that, you know, because we really don't want them all living at our house. It really gets crowded. So, we send everyone home and, you know, say thank you for being there and all of that. And it seems that people always linger at the end of events at our house, and or leave something behind so they have to come back. It's just a nice energy there. And finally everyone left. So exhilarated and exhausted, Jan and I went into the living room, to the couch, to sit down, and we just share about our experiences through the ritual and, you know, what happened for us and what we saw and noticed and everything. And we had a little dog at that point named Lucky, who was a Shih Tzu Terrier. And I mean, even people who don't believe in spirit would call him a spirit dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would lead people in ritual. And he's just amazing. I mean, when he died, 25 people came the next day because he would make individual friends. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't just our dog, he made friends with people. He was just amazing. But he would always sit between us. But on this particular evening, he was standing up with his feet on the back of the couch, staring into the corner of the room. And we couldn't get him to sit down. He was fixated on the corner of the room. So I kept trying to see what he was seeing. And there was nothing there. I mean, it was a stereo and a bookcase. You know, it was like I couldn't see what he was seeing. So finally, I said, okay, Lucky, show me what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, send me your picture. And as soon as I said that, a Native American woman appeared standing in the corner of the living room. And she said, I am the great, great, great grandmother. And I said, oh, the ritual's over. You know, you can go home now.
She's just perfect.
And so she looked at us and said, I'm not going anywhere. She said, I just unveiled a vortex, and I am here to teach you and protect you. Well, we both heard the word protect, and we stared at each other like, protect us from what? And as we turned to ask her, protect us from what, she was gone.
She did come back. She came back a lot, and she had much to teach us. Many of them lessons, but with lots of blessings as well. Now, of course, there's more to this one story, because that's just how and when it was unveiled. It interests me, too, because that was at the actual day of spring equinox. Sometimes, you know, we try to do those bigger events on weekends when, you know, because most people who work during the weekdays. So we don't always hit the exact date, you know, like summer solstice is coming and it's actually on a Thursday, I think, and we'll be celebrating summer solstice on the Saturday. But that day was a Sunday, and it was the actual date of spring equinox. So, of course, as I said, there's more to the story, as there is to the other vortices that have been unveiled. There's a dozen vortices and portals on the land at this point. And they're all big, big stories. I mean, this is the first, but they get grander and more complex and more astonishing as it kept going. And we, Mary Stella and I, have been on this journey, this spirit journey, for 20 years now. And being joining with spirit and earth, with the ancestors and the gatekeepers of each of the vortices and portals, it's what we've come to realize is we're still trying to remember to the depth of our bones that our greatest mission is to remember that we truly are divine selves living in human bodies. And in order to do that, our actions and our words are really significant in every moment. We're very clear that vortex, or any of them, is not ours. The land we live on is not our land. That's one of the first places. I'm in the process of closer to publishing, but been writing a book about all the stories of what we've experienced with these openings. And it's become quite a challenge to mention, like, on the land where we live. Because I can't say our land, because it just doesn't feel right. And it's like, what happened to our language that, you know, it's all so possessive? You know, it was even hard saying Lucky's our dog. You know, he's definitely our canine companion, but we don't own him. He's not our dog. Language is interesting. Trying to be mindful of so much. At any rate, the other thing we've realized is that what we're doing is we're living a promise, which is why I started with that sort of mythical beginning, is that Mary Stella and I are keeping a promise that we made long, long, long ago. We promised to return to this piece of land. We promise to be the stewards and in the best ways we can, the messengers of what's happening. Now, we will take questions and maybe pieces of other stories will come out, but what we'd like to do in this moment, if you'd go along with us, is what did you recognize in the telling of this? Or what touched your heart? Or what are you feeling or thinking in this moment, just hearing that much, if anyone is willing to speak? And there's no right or wrong answer. And it's not a test. And Jim promised he wouldn't grade anybody.
Right? I'm always just amazed at how spirit is so ready to come forward when we call. And if we have an open heart to work with the energies that present themselves. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's a lot of that coming forward now because there's so much work to be done in the world.
Mm-hmm. The other, I agree with you, and the flip side of that for me is that there's too many times we don't pay attention, we don't notice we're being called. You know, I mean, you can just be walking on a mountain path and there may be something being asked of you, but how many times do we not pay attention? We're doing a lesson plan in our head or something. You know, we're not even paying attention to where we are and what are listening to a bird who may be a messenger. So it's that both sides. Thank you. Anyone else? Catherine, were you going to say something?
Oh, you're reading my thoughts. I was thinking, when I write, I feel the spirit. I call it the Holy Spirit. This will come from a different tradition.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's there, and it amazes me. And I do feel called. I do feel like I'm doing something important, but it's coming through me rather than me creating it.
When it's really spirit, I think that is how it happens. Or Holy Spirit. I have that experience a lot. Maristella is very visual. I'm not. I mean, I still get lost. Even I've lived here how many years? but things come through me. And it's not even, I don't even get words. It just comes out of my mouth sometimes, you know? So we all have different abilities if we pay attention. That's the other part. Mine doesn't have to be like Mary Stella's. When we first started working with clients, I had a really hard time because she's so visual, it's right there. And she can start talking about what she sees. And I'm just like getting stuff and I'm going, but that doesn't match what she said. And so I wouldn't say anything. And it took me a while to get over that. You know, I mean, that was me being foolish, you know, but and self-conscious. But what I ultimately realized was, and we realized, is that when I finally got the courage to put it out there anyhow, and say something in front of the client that was a little different, is that it wasn't a contradiction. It was just another piece that was needed to go forward to what needed to be done. So there's a whole trust thing, too. You know, will we accept getting messages in many different ways? Thank you so much for sharing that. Did you want to say more?
Yeah, I liked what you said about possessive too, possessing things. That as I grow older, I know that I don't really possess what I have. That everything that I have is a gift. This means a gift from God. And even I look at the things that I love in my home and I say thank you. I'm really in breath, grateful for what I have. And I know that one day I will just leave it all. And that is kind of like the ultimate. It never was yours in the first place. It was yours to use while you were here. It really feels good to be in that frame of mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
it reminds me, I haven't read this for eons, years and years, but I think it's Zen, I'm not sure, but it's something about, I picture a monk holding a teacup, exquisite teacup, and saying to the student, I'm kind of making up the setting here, but this cup is already broken. And I think that's the meaning of that, is enjoy it in the moment, and it's, you know, everything that comes, goes, and gets recycled, really. We get recycled. Anyone else?
I was just going to say, I kind of had that same kind of epiphany. I have a rock collection, some rocks. I realized that, you know, I'll be long gone and they'll still be rocks. So who's collecting who?
You want to say?
Well, I feel like I am very full and not sure what exactly to say, so I'll just speak. I love your spirits and your story, and I so identify with it. I mean, from the very start of you talking about your spirits being together for lifetime after lifetime, that's our story as well, and so I heard my story and yours, and just everything you're talking about. We think there may be vortices or portals or something on the property that we live on, and so I feel a lot of longing to know what you know and to learn from you, and also feel like there's just a lot that we know in common, or the way we see things in common from what you're saying so far. So I just am really enjoying this moment and this evening of being here with you guys. Thank you.
That's so lovely. You're glowing. Yeah. I am too, but I think I'm hot.
Can you tell us a vortex or a vortex?
Yeah, sorry. We should have started there probably. I apologize. You know, a vortex is any place on the planet, on Earth, where the electric and or magnetic energies rise up and surface. So that when, because we're electromagnetic energy as well, so when the two meet, there's a real opportunity to experience something, and it's always different. Even on our property, I mean, it's, you know, the energy fluctuates to begin with, even on the planet, and then in our bodies too. So it's very common that you have different experiences in the same place. At different times, but that's all it is. It's that energy that is natural to the Earth surfaces so that we directly can interact with it, connect with it.
Susie shared with us when she returned some of the history of the area that we live in now, and a friend of ours brought us a map. She works with Caltrans, and she filled in all of the Spanish land grants around where we live, and we were lakeside property when the lake reached all the way to Santa Rosa. That's now called the Laguna. And in those days, before the Spanish came, before all of that, the area was filled with vortexes for a large section. It was like healing ground where the healers would go, where one would travel to heal. So and because of some battles, really bad, horrible battles, it was all veiled, it was covered in order to protect the earth. And Susie was actually the shaman who veiled them. She was, and then stayed with them and protected them. And then one of the things that I always get struck when we go back and tell this part of the story is, you know, I have to ask the question, why would Mr. McQueen, my godfather, he picked this piece of land out of the middle of an orchard to build this house for my parents. You know, it was like, and for most of my life, we were just surrounded by orchards. in this house. And I always said from the time I was little, I felt as though I emerged from that piece of soil. It's like so home to me. It is my soil. And then when Jan and I came together and we started being sent to Sedona, because we've been training, basically, each of us separately, to bring, you know, our gifts to play. In the meantime, my mom is tending the land, and we always said she had two green arms. We'd bring her dead things, and she'd put it in the ground and just look at it with this look she would get, and she'd go, grow, and it would, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was just amazing. You know, and so, you know, her loving tending of the land and our being prepared, and Don Pedro from Ecuador, who's a shaman who came to the land, said that our love was the first vortex. Mm-hmm. That this combination of things, you know, had been being prepared before I was even born to make this happen. Mm-hmm. To bring us to this time and this day when, you know, that the vortexes could be unveiled again, that they could be brought back to offer their healing to the people and to the land around us and such. And I know it's not just my story. I know it's not just Jan's story. Mm-hmm. You know, if we all look at, you know, the places, the things that we've ended up doing, how, you know, we have been prepared to do those things. You know, and it really helps if you listen when Spirit says you've got to move, and you go, but I don't have work there, and, you know, all the excuses, but you go anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess you have to listen along the way. But, you know, we were literally prepared to come and work with this, the unveiling of this energy. So,
although we weren't conscious of it quite at that time.
Oh, definitely.
It took a while
hindsight
for us to kind of catch up with that memory. But that's one of the incredible blessings, is when you do pay attention and you do listen and then you act, you discover more about who you are. I mean, you're not just, how can I put it? I mean, it's just another blessing. You get deeper inside your own self, which then allows you to give more, which allows you to receive more, and then it just keeps spiraling. And before you know it, it goes so far beyond yourself, doesn't it? You know, it affects people around you and houses around you. And I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I didn't know the house we're living in now. I didn't know what it was like before. I mean, Mary Stella can tell me, but I didn't live in it then. You know, when it was all this derelict orchard. And what's funny now is they built this subdivision around these two houses that her godfather built, one for him and his wife and one for Mary Stella's parents. So, you know, we're on this half acre, you know, and their yards are, you know, these little yards. Mm-hmm. And we're the only unpaved driveway, you know, this huge driveway, and it's all gravel and dead grass. You know, I haven't been out raking it up yet this year. You know, I mean, we're on well water. Mm-hmm. You know, best water in town, right? I mean, it's really interesting. Mary Stella has a memory. I thought I was moving to the country. So you got to realize, I'm a city girl. Mm-hmm. So we got up there, and to me, up here, mm-hmm. And to me it was like the country. You know, it was like the sticks. And like, so I would say, okay, well, I don't know how to do this or that, but I can weed. I could probably weed, right? And then so I'm pulling things in my cell. No, that's a plant. Whoops. Okay, so then I had to say, well, is that a weed? I thought I knew what weeds were, but only maybe one species. Learning curve.
And it is so unexpected. I mean, we just told you the story of this one vortex and our amazement of, you know, this energy in our living room. And, I mean, it never dawned on us that there would be more, that others would be unveiled, all in extreme. extremely different ways with extremely different energies on a half acre. You know, it's just, I mean, there's one in the neighbor's yard. But
do they know it? Do the neighbors know it?
We don't think so. Mm-hmm.
They, for the longest time, she just had someone come and mow down the yard twice a year because we complained it was a fire hazard. She watered a plant once and it bloomed, and oh, you'd think the world had just come to an end. She just, I was just like, look, it bloomed. She was just so excited. So that was her relationship to the earth and plants and such. And shortly after the vortex opened on their land, she brought in a landscaper, put in lawn everywhere except for where the vortex opened. There's this very large circle with the biggest lavender plants you've ever seen. Just all over the place. Huge lavender plants. I mean, it's just amazing. Now, if we would tell her there was a vortex there, she'd tell us we were crazy.
Or she'd knock it down.
But she honored it. She knows
yes.
it's there
yeah.
on some level. She knew it was there because it yeah. was the only part of the yard she treated differently.
That's right. Or the landscaper did. Maybe it was.
It could have been the landscaper. Yeah.
It could have been.
Who was that aware of the earth and the feelings of it?
Could have.
If that person was in that profession,
mm-hmm.
somebody who is very much
yeah.
honors the earth.
That's just as real as our possibility. That's a good. I mean, it's a good point.
But it all comes together,
mm-hmm.
no matter who is identified
yeah.
as
that's
the source.
Right. That's right.
That
yeah.
person is just one part of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it takes a village. It does. It takes all of us. Yeah.
It's amazing what we know that we don't know we know.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And what I don't understand is why it comes in just pieces. Have you experienced that? You get
yeah,
a little piece.
Bits and pieces.
Oh, give me the rest already. You know
what?
That's what time is for. Yeah.
No.
I know.
Just so you're talking to two Aries. So, so we've actually referred to it as the P word, patience. the P word.
This was one of Susie's big lessons with us, to be patient. Oh, Lord. We'd walk around the house frustrated and have to remind each other, remember the P word. Better be patient.
In one of the vortexes, it took, what was it, 3 years from the time we knew this was going to happen to the time that it could actually happen. And we won't tell you the story right now because it's they're all big. They all get interlinked and hooked up with everyone else.
But I can say something that won't give it away, if I may.
Okay.
So as Mary Stella said, you know, after the first vortex, I mean, first of all, that was a total surprise, and you know, I mean, total surprise. So who would? It never occurred to us there'd be another. But when there was another. Our second one, it never occurred to us there'd be a third one. I mean, it you know, we never got it that this was going to keep happening until, one little aside over here, for about 7 years, I guess, there's an international shaman conference that takes place in San Rafael every Labor Day weekend for 3 days. And we presented telling our stories for 7 years. And met some amazing people, and one of them happened to be a shaman from Mongolia. And the only time we knew that there was going to be another one or two vortices, his name is Zurich Bata, and when he has visited us several times, and one of the visits, he stood in one spot and he said, at least two more. So I'm going to pass around. We do want these back, but these are pictures. There's two pictures of him doing him in the first and the second, him and his wife doing a ceremony in our backyard. And does everyone know what an orb is?
Yeah.
You know those balls of light that. Well, there's a picture there with the biggest orb I've ever seen. So we'll make sure
how
you come your way.
Do you always feel so awakened to yourself?
Yeah.
Like, how did, like, what were you guys like as little kids? And when did you start to be able to feel the things and see the
That's
things
a good question.
You see?
We had very different experiences. You should talk about your gnome friends.
Oh, growing up, because we lived in the middle of all these orchards, so there were no other kids around for us to play with and everything, and I always played with the little people, the gnomes and the fairies and the elves, and no one ever bothered to tell me they weren't real. You know, my parents didn't try to convince me that they were make-believe, and they were my friends, and they're still there, and we have gatherings with kids to come over and play with the fairies and the gnomes and the elves. And so, you know, I was fortunate enough not to be told that this didn't work. My mom had a very psychic side that scared her. So she didn't talk about it much. When she would get visions, they would often be about something that she didn't want to know about. So, you know, she would push it away. It wasn't until later in her life that she would share stories of her protector, this man with the turban the spirit that came and protected her all the time, and the two old women that would always come to the door, and, you know, the spirit world that she lived with. So, you know, I always had that around me. You know, I always thought Mom had two green arms and was magic because she could make dead things grow, more than, oh, this land has some special energy that's healing these plants.
So you kind of always had it, and she never invalidated it.
Right.
You or never got very left-brained on you. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad didn't believe in any of that stuff, but he just sort of ignored it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he didn't fight against it.
My experience was totally opposite. I was totally invalidated. I remember, oh gosh, I'm trying to think how old, maybe I was seven-ish, I'm not sure my age. I had my first, or at least in my memory, my first deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were doing, my mother, my older brother and myself were in a kitchen, and I think I was sweeping the floor or something. And I suddenly stopped. I just saw this scene, and I knew what was going to happen next. And I was so excited, you know, as a little kid. It's a big deal when you want to share something, you know, with your family. And oh my goodness, you know, made my mother nuts. She told me to stop making things up and just finish cleaning. And you know, but it's a common story, unfortunately.
Mm.
You know, I learned basically not to talk and to sort of hide it. And then over time, what I think happens to a lot of us is you hide it enough. You hide who you are. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be this. Then you end up hiding it from yourself. And it takes a while, or it took me a while at any rate, as an adult, finding my truer family. I mean, I loved my mother very much. I don't mean it that way. But she just couldn't go there.
Yeah.
You know, her story was she couldn't go there. So I had to find my other family, my clan, so to speak, my tribe. And it, so slowly, you know, and then I would just know things. I mean, one time when I was married for many years in Cambridge, and something was wrong with the car, and I know nothing about cars, and they got all the guys, right, the hood up, they're fiddling, they're, you know, it's taking them hours, and I walked over and I said, and I named something that I can't repeat because I don't know what the heck it is, and I don't know where the word came from, and they laughed at me. 4 hours later, guess what they ended up fixing was
whatever it was.
You know, so, but I could do that with Eddie. I mean, I could just be me, you know. But it took a while. You know, it took a while.
Yeah.
But when I was little, I was just bursting. You know, I just wanted that freedom, and I didn't have it. And I'm sure there was some lesson there, but I don't know what it was.
Mm.
It doesn't matter now.
Did any of you hear the on NPR KQED? the woman talking about autism the other day. Well, this woman just wrote a book about functional autism and how prevalent it is in society and how they've mapped the brain and what part of the brain doesn't work and, you know, or, you know, is not functioning and such. And you know, she described me. I've always said, oh, I see in pictures. You know, sometimes I have to stop and sort of translate what's going on to get it into words to come out and stuff, you know. And, you know, luckily my parents let me play with the little people instead of labeling me as autistic. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, autistic? I don't know. But it just seemed funny to hear this woman, you know, label it like that and say, oh, well, this is what you have to do with that condition.
You've heard that before.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, we've got to go save them all.
Yeah.
You know, believe in spirit. Come
yeah.
on.
So this little box is kind of much bigger.
There's so much more
autism
now. There's
during
this time. It's so prevalent. Trying to come through if we can.
It's a different way of perception,
yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But you know, there's only one right way, right?
Yeah.
If the other way is wrong. You know, that's another thing where I get really passionate about is this, you know, we've been taught to live with duality. You know, I mean, to us it's real because that's what our language is about. So that's how we live our lives, right, wrong, black, white, you know, whatever, right? But that's because we were taught that. It doesn't mean it's true at all. What do you think about that? I do believe one of the reasons that, she knows when I get my passion here. One of the reasons that, there's so much chaos right now, and there's so much being, you know, exposed and revealed, you know, all the, quote, negative things, here I go, positive, negative, but you understand what I'm saying. Particularly, you know, at the government level, it's because duality is coming to an end. I really, truly feel this. I feel it in my bones. But it's not going to go without a fight, a big fight. So there's a battle going on, and we're seeing it everywhere. If you really look at it, you're going to see it's all about duality. It's all about this is right and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we're working with people, like, should I go here? Can I go there?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little off track from vortices, but it's not really, I guess, because it's all one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get this strong image now. And the few times I get images, and I do get some, but they're rare, is we have to stand in the middle. The way we're going to move forward and reclaim who we really are, we need to start standing in the middle and get out of all the blame, all the judgment, you know, all those things we've seen and witnessed and encompassed. Because that's survival, right? You do what everyone else does. That's what you learn to get by in the world. If we can start standing in the middle more,
mm-hmm.
and don't go here, and don't even go there. I mean, even in politics, you know, you don't like one, you like the other. You still got to stand in the middle. And eventually, it's kind of like if you know about energy, bringing the earth energy up, but don't forget bringing the energy down from the cosmos. And even better, start doing it in a spiral. And it makes a difference. It sort of opens. We need to get out of what we think runs our lives, which is the brain, because we've been taught that, and start listening to the greater intelligence in our heart, which is now actually scientifically being proven exists. But boy, when I was growing up, no one would believe that. You know, it's really interesting. So everything's getting turned kind of upside down, and is everyone tired a lot lately?
Yeah.
Like an exhaustion, and you're going, what is going on?
Uh-huh.
It's because we're in this huge transition cycle, I think. That's what's going on. Huge transition. And it is exhausting because things aren't the way they were. You can't quite count on anything. You don't know what's next. It's hard making a decision, which is good because figuring it out never really worked well anyhow. That's a hard one for me to give up because I'm a thinker. No, and that's what I was told again by Eddie during those years before they weren't. He's long deceased now. He would look at me and say, "You think too much." But that was my salvation then, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now it's, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's more surrender. My least favorite word in the world, surrender.
How does an Aries surrender?
Yeah. Oh, with a great resistance.
So things are changing, energies are changing, and more vortexes are opening. I mean, we have been, you know, called to several places to work. We do land and energy cleansings and find vortex energies that have gotten clogged. You know, that almost tar-like, you know, gunk. And it's about clearing them and getting energy flow again, or feeling the one next door. And, you know, even though they don't say it or know it as such, it is a vortex in their land. But, they're opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And the earth is changing. She's healing. That and bringing these energies back to us because we are in a better place to be able to receive them again, I think. So be aware, pay attention.
And actually, that vortex in the yard next door that Maristella's talking about, for years, we not only, once we saw it pop, I mean, you know, knew that that vortex had opened. Before that, just the way the earth was dishonored is what it felt to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is not only did we, in our way, pray for that land, when groups were there, we would go over to the fence and just do like a pray together, just sending love to that part of the land. I mean, it's not like my yard, your yard. I mean, this is the earth,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we did that for years before it popped. But, you know, that's something else we can do every day, you know, wherever we're walking.
And because of an earth vortex is a different vibration, basically, the electric magnetic energies are vibrating differently, and they affect us. What we have found is in each of the different vortexes that have appeared around us that they have very different feelings. They bring something different to each person. And we will listen to people as they come and share their experiences. And it's amazing that, you know, that so many people in the vortex in the front yard, which we call the goddess vortex, feels the presence of the goddess and their hearts are touched. I mean, it's very common telling of an experience. And we don't tell someone this is the goddess vortex. So, you know, but you know, so, and you know, there's one that we call the One, which is really about being able to go in and experience that oneness again with the All. And there's a water vortex,
and there's one we call, that's the Cauldron, it's very much a fire vortex, and that one took us on quite a journey. That was one that took quite a process of completing its journey. And that one, we had someone come measure the magnetic energy was measured there. It's called the declination. And the magnetic energy around the planet, each locality, it's a certain degree or declination is the term. She knew what the declination is in this area. And right in that spot that was the cauldron brewing, the magnetic energy was 17 degrees higher than the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, that's a scientific fact. They had, you know, they did what they do. It's not my thing, but.
She was a surveyor trying to draw a straight line, and she couldn't. Drove her nuts.
And they kept getting dizzy and had to walk away for a few minutes.
They were there. They had to go get different equipment because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Did you have a question?
Well, just I was back visiting my home in Minnesota, and there's a vortex there. And so I mentioned it to my nieces and nephews who are in their 40s and 50s. Well, the nieces, and I didn't say, I just said, you know, there's energy in the earth, and I've been studying, and you know, I think there's some on the land, because it's land that's been in our family for generations. And before I didn't say where any of the vortexes were, my nieces knew. They said, oh yes, there. You know, so they, and then they were really excited because somebody wanted to talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were really excited because it was like you could see them reaching back in their memory going, oh, I remember standing in this spot and it felt this certain way, but then there was nobody to talk to about it because nobody had the language and I forgot. And so it was fun. We had a really nice time being that.
That was special for you. That's lovely.
Yeah, great.
And you're bringing up something else important, which is the time has come for all of us to speak out with what our experiences are. You know, whatever, because that has, particularly when we spoke at the shaman conference and told of our experiences on the land, people would always come up to us and say and thank us because they had experiences, but they didn't dare talk about them because people would think they were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They were really scared to share their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're, you know, like, we don't know better, so we just stand up and talk.
So one piece, this woman from Thailand had come to one of the shaman conferences, and she sat through 3 days. And the way she did it, it was just one after another speaker. And so it can get a little overwhelming and stuff. And for some reason, we were scheduled late on the third day that year, which had never happened. And she sat through all three, and she got, and then afterwards she came running up to us and threw her arms around us and said, I was told by spirit to come to this conference. I mean, from Thailand.
Taiwan.
Turn the equipment around. From Taiwan. Is the recording?
I may have pushed a button that stopped it when I picked it up.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sorry.
Not a problem.
Okay.
You might need to restart it then, Jim.
Okay. No, it's still recording.
Oh, thank God I didn't.
Yes. No, you didn't. You didn't break it.
We both talk with our hands. But she said, I was told by spirit to come to this conference, and I've sat here for 3 days wondering why.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't know why until you spoke, she said, because I am working with a crystal spire in Thailand, and that's what we had just spoken about was the most recent vortex to open that had crystal energy.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never heard of anyone working with a crystal spire, nor had we.
Mm.
But that's all she needed was like to know that she wasn't alone in this experience that she was having, so big, clear experience of these crystal spires. So, yeah, it's good to speak up.
So we passed out flyers. We'll be doing our 8-week series, telling all the stories. The dates are there and our email address and our phone number. And if anyone wants to be on our email list, you can sign up here. We send out monthly announcements of what's up.
In the class, you actually get to spend time in the vortexes and have your own experiences. And, you know, we tell the stories of the vortexes, but it's more, we want you to go to your what's evoked in me, what teaching does this have for me? So we hope to see you all there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.